not a boyfriend. Woo! And let's pray. A girlfriend telling me, or a boyfriend telling someone that's a girl, you know, I love you, but this is not that type of sermon today. This isn't I love you, but. Because of our love for this congregation and for what we've seen here, it's helped me to keep my eyes open. A question I need to ask for you today, and things that I want you to be thinking as we talk today is, do you know God? Do you know God? I'm actually going to move locations here. Now, I didn't ask if you know about God. I didn't ask you if you knew about God or you've heard about Him or through your Sunday schools, through your lessons, through the times here on Wednesdays and Sundays that we have together. I didn't ask you if you knew about Him. I'm asking, do you know God? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Do you spend time with God and talking to Him somewhere other than the supper table or somewhere other than the church? You know, we know, I hope you know this, but a lot of us know that being a Christian is not about a creed. It's not about a creed that this church puts before us or traditions that we put before us. It is not about that. It is not about a certain standard that we try to hold each other to. You know, it's not about us worshiping a historical figure. You know, Jesus is real. In case you didn't know that, Jesus is real. He's not just someone that we read in a Bible. He's not just someone that, you know, the Jews don't believe in. Jesus is not just a historical figure. No, being a Christian is believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came, He died for our sins, that He rose again, and He's still living. And you have the opportunity to have Him live inside of you. I hope you believe that. I hope that's why we're gathered here today. Not because of just friendships, or because of a youth program, or because of a children's program, but because you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, it's pretty easy. Nothing that I'm selling here, nothing that I'm, you know, trying to pitch, because it's all free. If we just answer the call. We know that the message of Jesus and His life is not a fable. It's true. You know, that's why we gather here on Sundays. That's why we gather here on Wednesdays, why we do our small groups, and why we enjoy being in the presence of other brothers and sisters in Christ, because we believe in the same thing. Now, that might not have always been the case. For me, I know it wasn't. You know, since the day we were born, we had a hole in our heart. And some of us have tried to fill that with things like alcohol or drugs. Maybe we tried to fill it through relationships, companionship, through friendships. With everything that we could try to fill it with, and still not feeling fulfilled. Still feel like that just didn't do it. And you know, we found nothing that would fill that hole in our heart. And there's a reason because of that. There's a reason why we have not been fulfilled from those things. Why we still felt helpless in those times was because that hole was only meant to be filled by one thing, and that's our Heavenly Father. Not by a marriage, not by money, not by things that make us feel good, but for our Heavenly Father. Now, we know that. You know, I want you to try to think back to what your life was before God. Some might be sitting in this audience not knowing who He is. How desolate your life felt. How alone you felt. How often you just felt like you were seeking something greater. You know, I want you to think about this. How did you come to know God? How did you come to know God? Now, was it, I want you to think about this because we'll share in a second how I came to know God. But was there a person that shared God with you? Was this person there just in time to share with you when you felt the most helpless or you felt like your life was hopeless? You know, was it family? You know, some of us have been blessed to be brought up in the church. Some of us have been able to meet friends that cared enough for us to show us who Christ was. Maybe it was through a stranger. Or I've even heard people, when they watch The Passion of the Christ, committing their life to Jesus. There's different ways that we came to know God. There's different ways that we came to know who He was and is today. You know, my parents and my grandparents played a very key role. You'll probably see some pictures here in a second of my grandfather holding Eli. My grandfather, still to this day, he lives in Tullahoma, you know, worked out at the base, and, you know, had such a relationship with God when he was growing up, that when my dad, when my dad was born, there was mention of God, kind of like the first question I ask you, do you know God? Have you heard His name? That was the way that my grandfather approached God in his relationship with Him. You know, was a smoker from the time he was 12 until the time he was like 28. And we're not just, you know, talking about a cigarette just for fun. He smoked packs a day. And then the message of God when he was at a service one day just clicked. He understood that Jesus died on the cross for him and that he was still living. My dad can remember going and helping pour out his whiskey. And him, from that day forward, not smoking another cigarette. Because Jesus did that. Because Jesus filled that hole that he had been trying to fill. You know, I've been blessed to have parents that have brought me up in the church. And I listened and knew every Bible story growing up. I can remember walking into other churches and people would be asking questions, and I thought that these kids were kind of dumb because they didn't know the answers. And I'm just like, oh, that's so-and-so. I'm a biblical scholar. And I knew it. I knew it because it had been repeated to me. It had been read to me. But it wasn't in my heart. Had the opportunity... We started a church when I was about 13. They had a youth group. Never really heard anything about it. This is about the same age that I started thinking that my parents didn't know anything. Some of you parents know that feeling. And everything that they would say about God was just silly. And you'll see a quite balded man up there. His name is Joe Esner. He was the youth minister at the church that I went to and grew up at. And this man showed me who God was, not only through just words and through stories, but by action. I remember my first mission trip was to Connecticut. Some of y'all would probably be big UT fans, probably upset because it was right on UConn's campus. I was baptized there. Please forgive me. I can remember being there and just seeing, starting to see what my life should be about. You know, at that time, my life was about whatever gave me the most pleasure. Whatever was the fun thing to do. And I started to see what God had in store for me. Something more than just a regular life. I went to college and met my wife. It's first senior year. Wait for y'all to catch up. Met my wife. Some of y'all have heard of this story. We were planning on going to a spring break mission to the City of Children in Mexico. And out of 60 people that we had trained for 3 months, getting together, having meetings, I not once had seen my wife or Amanda there. Not once. Didn't see her at any of the meetings. In fact, we talked about it afterwards, and I said, "You skipped out on so many meetings because I never saw you." But the day that I showed up to the airport, it's like, "Who's that? What's up?" She'll tell you I was quite full of myself. But I met the woman that challenged me to be a better man of God, that still challenges me. So God has put people in our lives that challenge us. When I came here, there were people that have challenged me. I can remember the first couple we met were the Whittems. And spending countless times over eating great food and watching TV, usually 24. But being challenged by them. Being challenged by the Gregories. As we sit over their house and talk about what's going on within our body, within our youth group. Spending time with Ray, whether on a walk or just sitting there while I watch him walk, which is a lot more fun. Or going and spending time with Tom and praying with him. You know, there have been people here that have challenged me. There's so many more of you that have challenged me spiritually to make me reevaluate my thinking, to make me see who Christ truly is. And not just a creed, not just traditions. You know, I can remember feeling helpless. Feeling like, you know, this world is not, what am I supposed to do? I had a brother that got into drugs, was heavily into drugs until about 6 months ago, praise God. And I can remember watching him when I was younger and thinking, is that my life? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Knowing that there was a greater call. And I know that y'all have been there when you sat there and said, man, there's something more than what I have. And there's something more sometimes that we say, even within our own relationship with God, there's something more that I'm missing. Once I was a Christian, I learned several things that have helped me with my faith that, either my youth minister taught me or my parents or friends that, you know, first of all, you got to pray. You got to spend time in prayer. And I can remember praying. The best time that I had was when I was interning at a church in Lebanon, driving from Nashville to Lebanon every day, praying for 30 minutes. I had my eyes open. But praying to God and spending time just talking. You know, prayer is not something that's just a King James version of us talking to God, but it's just sharing what's on our hearts. I can also remember that, you know, my parents telling me how important it was for me to read in God's Word. And I hope that's something that we spend time doing. I hope that's something that we cherish God's words for us. Not just on a Wednesday or a Sunday, but basically realizing that that's our lifeline. If we're going out each week without reading God's word, we are weak. Spiritually, we are weak. I can also remember being told that the church is something that I need to take advantage of, not just because, you know, it's a nice building, it's, you know, pretty place, but because of the people in it. You know, this church is not these walls. Church is the people that are within it. And, you know, we're all in the same struggle. We're all wanting to be better men and women of God. You know, we are a gathering of admitted sinners. This is what we are right now. And how important is it to be able to have people that we share with that struggle with the same things that we do? Fourth thing I was always told was to share my faith, to witness. That's the hardest, I think, out of all of this. You know, it's hard to share with somebody that you love, too. It's hard to share with somebody that lives right beside you. It's amazing how my teens are willing to jump at the opportunity to go to Huntsville to share with kids, but it's so much harder to come over here to the auditorium and share because that's familiar. They might think I look silly. But we're called to witness. We're called to share. You know, I think that our church here has done an amazing job of helping the harassed and helpless. I think we've done a really good job. I'm not saying let's pat ourselves on the back. Let's take a lap around. You have a victory lap. But what I am saying, I've seen us put into works here at the church things that have helped people that are the helpless and harassed, that were looking for something to fill their hole. We've put in upwards. I can remember seeing the passion on Lanny's face and Linda's and David's and John's when it first started, and going and to the conferences y'all would go to and come back just being excited about what this was going to do for our body. You know, there are people within this room right now that would not be here if it was not for upwards. That wouldn't have come over here. That wouldn't be a part of our family. You know, Celebrate Recovery has done an amazing job of helping the helpless. Of helping the harassed. And there are people here today that have been coming on Friday nights, that have been here through Wednesdays, and feel renewed and feel a passion about God. You know, it's been amazing to sit and listen to Tom share about just what a passion he has for this program. And man, it's done an amazing job. You know, we've had things like that. We've had things within our community like Good Samaritan that we help out with. I wish you could see how Kathy ministers to people on a daily basis. Kathy's one of our greatest ministers. To see people that come in and how she will help the helpless. Help those that are hurting. We do missions. We help support them through Guatemala, and we've sent groups last year. We also do Huntsville, inner city. As one of our own interned there this past year, as John went down to share and to help the helpless and the harassed. And if you ask our teens what their favorite thing to do, I guarantee you, it's not Winterfest, where they get to go have fun. It's the times where they get to serve, where they get to help the helpless. You know, y'all have supported us in the past. We've been sent three different times from this church to go to Brazil to share God's word about youth ministry. And each time we have gone, I kind of closed my heart and my mind to what I felt God was calling me to do. Because why leave what you love? Why leave the people that you love? or my family, or church that's comfortable. You know, I've had so many of you ask me, you know, Justin, youth group's going great. You know, I see so much that y'all are doing that's just wonderful within our community, outside of our community. Why leave? It's been the question. Why leave? When things are so great, why leave? God didn't promise me comfort, did he? He told me to help the helpless and the harassed. And every time that we've been to Brazil, that's what I've seen. Helpless and harassed. Sheep without a shepherd. I want to show you, you've heard my heart. I spoke on Sunday night about the work. I'm not going to go into great detail. But I want you to hear from some men that are there. You'll hear from some missionaries, and you'll hear from some men that are locals that see the need for the work that we're going to be doing. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." You know, we have the opportunity to help the harassed and helpless. You know, as you've seen your teens grow up, if you've been here for a while, you've seen your teens grow up in a youth group that has been blessed by youth workers, by a youth minister, by adults here, a congregation that supports that ministry, and elders that support that ministry. And we've watched as many teens have been given a faith, have been shown the way to have a faith in God, have been directed on, you know, ways to continue a relationship with God. And we've been blessed in that way. They've had all the necessary means that they've needed to know who Christ is. In less than 2 months, actually, January 25th, we'll be leaving here to move to Brazil. And as we say we have felt that this has been an opportunity for our congregation, not just yours, our congregation, to be a part of a work to help those that are in need. Now we're seeking to be shepherds to those that are lost sheep right now. And we are seeking to harvest souls for God's kingdom. And we've seen so many blessings as we sit here and celebrate Thanksgiving. We have been blessed. And we are thankful for many things. This past Tuesday, God blessed us with a $25,000 donation. Whew. Same day, I go to get my permanent visa. Permanent visa that took my father-in-law over 4 months to get, I got in 5 minutes. Tell me God isn't involved. Tell me this isn't what God wants me to do. I'm going to be honest. We have about $27,000 remaining to see our goals through. You can look on the back there and you can see our moving fund has been finished. And we still got $27,000, which is a huge chunk of change, to be able to live, and to be able to do the work there that we feel called to do. And so we're putting this before our body, and I have no doubts that God will bless us. You might have sat down today and saw envelopes with the Moore Mission on it. Inside is a letter that is basically, you know, we've asked your families to be praying about if you would like to support this more than what our congregation already is. And no amount is too little. I think our first pledge was $20 a month. no amount will not be used. So anything you put on that paper and commit will go to God's work. Don't feel like it has to be something huge or to where it's going to be hard for you to live. But realize that there are those outside of this community, outside of this United States, that are helpless and harassed and that need the opportunities to be able to see our Heavenly Father. You know, we're wanting to be the sheep, or we're wanting to be the shepherds that go after these sheep. And as one of our ministers here shared with y'all, that this age group that we're going for is the most ripe, is ready to hear God's word. I'm going to show a video. I'm going to ask Tommy and the gentleman to come up. We're going to go ahead and have our contribution. And just ask that you give what you feel called to give today. I'll ask our men to come up that were here earlier. As we're doing our contribution, you'll see some videos, a video of past trips that we've been there, and see some faces of some kids that we'll be working with.
If you would, turn your books to 784, 784 to begin with, 784.
It's funny, I asked Tom to do the welcome today, not knowing that he'd take my last ending of the sermon away from him. But you know, the passage that we read today from Matthew applies to all of us. It's not just something of having to go to a foreign land. But the harvest is ripe here as well. And there's opportunities for us to share wherever we're at. Whether it's at work, sometimes it's even within these walls. God has given you a harvest to tend to. God is showing you opportunities to people to share with. As we close today, I want you to meditate this week on the passage that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And remember what all Christ has done for all of us. Because we were once helpless. We were once harassed. Remember what it feels like to be lost. And today, if you feel a little lost, if you feel like you haven't been doing your job as witnessing to others, or even reading what God has put before us, maybe you feel like you haven't been the worker that you should be for God. We want to give you the opportunity to respond as we stand and as we sing.
Number 947. 947. Mm-hmm. Jesus is tenderly